Hey there,
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Sensory by Harkla. You're listening to Rachel and Jessica, and this is episode 148.
I think this is the first time that we have had two guests on the podcast at the same time.
Yeah.
So today we got to chat with Sonia and Linnell, and they are going to tell us all about cranial sacral therapy, and you're going to love this conversation.
I learned so much, and especially because I'm going through all of this with Trip right now, and it's just so near and dear to my heart that I hope you all can benefit from this conversation as well.
You will benefit from it. So let's go ahead and jump in.
Hey everyone, Rachel and Jessica here, and we wanted to share some exciting news that we have here at Harkla.
So April is Autism Awareness Month, and we at Harkla are celebrating that because we are all about helping those with autism as well as everyone else.
Everyone in between. Yes. So we are hosting a giveaway that runs from April 1st to April 18th, and we are drawing daily winners for 13 days.
So there will be a total of 16 winners because there's also going to be four prizes on the last day. Now, different prizes for these giveaways include a compression swing or a weighted blanket or a supplement.
And we're giving away over $3,000 in winnings. So how do you enter the giveaway?
So all you have to do is go to harkla.co/giveaway. And that's harkla.co/giveaway.
Okay, go enter and good luck. And we're so excited. Morning, ladies. How are you today?
Doing good.
Fantastic. Thank you. Good.
Super excited to have you guys here. And we're going to jump into our interview questions, our conversation, but first we actually have five secret questions that we're going to ask you. So we're going to start with those. Oh. You start so that you can do the would you rather question.
Oh, yes. Here. Okay. All right. So who is one person, alive or dead, that you look up to?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. My dad. He's an amazing, amazing person and has been a huge inspiration. One of the most supportive people you'll ever meet. So he's a good guy.
Awesome.
I look up to him.
Yeah. For sure.
I would say my grandma on my dad's side. So she's phenomenal. She just passed away a couple years ago, and I still think about all the stories she told me growing up. So she's been very influential to me.
That's how my grandma was to me too.
All right. Briefly, can you tell us what your morning routines look like?
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? Are you sure you want to know this?
Yes.
Well, now, yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay, Linnell's going to go first. This might take a while. Are you in your closet?
Briefly.
We have a lot of children. Okay. We'll do the brief version.
Okay.
Brief version from Linnell. So the alarm goes off, and usually I wake up about 15 minutes before my alarm, so that's really fun. Not. I don't know why that happens. It doesn't matter what time I set it for, too. That always happens that way.
Oh, no.
And then I'll just kind of tap my husband and we'll get out of bed and I'll come back and get ready for the day. And then we have to make the bed. And I have like 3,000 pillows on the bed. So it's really important that we pick them up from where we've thrown them at each other the night before when we do family scriptures and prayers. So everybody's throwing pillows everywhere. And in the morning, we have to recover. So that is one of our favorites.
I love it.
All right, your turn.
So yeah, alarm usually goes off like around 5. I try to drag my sorry lazy bum out of bed as much as I can still sleep. Usually head to the gym, come back, shower up and get ready. Then all the kiddos get up 6:30, 6:45, right in there. So I have 6 kids under the age of 12.
Oh,
yeah. So it's this amazing dash of total assembly line, packing lunches, and then assembling. So I have 5 girls in the mix. So we line them up for hair, and they go do their whole morning routine, which is their own set of 5 or 6 things that they have to get done. And then somewhere in the mix, we somehow get them all to school. And then I have a little one that stays home with me. So then we kind of focus on her and try to get her dressed. You know, clothing is good. Feeding is good. So we do all those pieces. And then typically work day will start around 8, 9 in there. And wow. Then, you know, the other days is all full of mom stuff when I'm not working. So yes. There's the morning routine.
That's intense.
Sandy, you have 6
kids.
Are you starting
to ask?
No. I'm curious though. So, Sonny, you have 6 kids. Linnell, how many kids do you have?
I have 8.
Oh my gosh.
What? Oh my goodness.
Oh wow, you guys are amazing.
We are a little bit crazy. Yeah, but we kind of love it. So we're okay with each other. So
I love it.
Oh my gosh, I have 1 and it drives me crazy.
Of course.
I joke and tell my husband I want 17, but I don't know if I could handle it.
Yeah, I know I couldn't do 17. There's definitely a max point, right?
17's the max.
Yeah, no kidding.
If I'm asked to pregnancies, maybe. Mm. That's my max point.
Mm-hmm. The kids
are awesome, and there's so many good points, and they grow up, but man, the pregnancies, do not sign me up for that.
Oh, no. That's tough.
So funny. Okay.
All right, so would you rather hang from monkey bars for 3 hours or hula hoop for 3 hours?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness sakes. I think I would rather die for 3 hours.
Aren't you happy you came on our podcast?
Yes, this is fabulous.
So fun. Oh my gosh. What would you rather do?
I'm going to go with hanging on the monkey bars for 3 hours because I figure I could alternate between my legs and arms.
Oh,
there you go.
I am a horrible hula hooper. World's worst. Like, by far, my kids laugh. It's their comedy of the day when I try to hula hoop. So we'll go with the monkey bars.
There you go.
I would totally go with the hula hoop because I would be laughing myself to death. I think it would be so hilarious.
I think that's great.
Oh, good answers. Good answers.
Okay, so this question came from the fact that Rachel was eating eggs this morning, and I'm typing up the secret questions, and I was like, oh, okay. So the question is, how do you cook your eggs?
Oh, this is great.
Yeah. Go for it. Okay, so we have 20 chickens, so we get about 18 to 20 eggs a day.
What?
So eggs are a big part of our life.
I love it.
It is a thing, right? Do you guys have chickens?
We totally do, too.
Oh, good.
You guys are just like the same person.
Because we have less kids, so we didn't need 20. So we just went with the lower number. But yeah, eggs are a big deal.
Oh, my
gosh. Eggs are a big deal.
I'm so glad I asked.
I know. Me too.
It's a cheap way to feed all these kids.
That's seriously. Right?
Yeah.
So at our house, if we're doing eggs, because I have 7 boys and 1 girl, and right now they're all kind of older, young adults and teenagers. And so if we're having eggs, then we also have to have bacon. So there is this thing, right, that has to happen at our house because, oh my gosh, the bacon thing at our house is ridiculous. But I will tell you that to get a really nice, lovely, fluffy scrambled eggs, if you add a little water instead of milk, which I only learned about 4 years ago, it makes them super fluffy and yummy, yummy, yummy.
Good to know.
This is a great
tip. It's a good tip. If you want those fluffy scrambled eggs, that's how you do it.
I love it. So we have eggs, which I think technically they're called overeasy, but we call them poppy eggs in our house. Yeah. And we eat them over toast. And you have to mash it up just right on the toast for all the kids to eat. Them, but that's a really good way. So how we do it, like a little bit of coconut oil in the pan, fry that baby up both sides, slap it on a piece of toast. It's delish.
Avocado.
Oh yeah, totally. That's a really good
one. You guys have such good routines. It's awesome. Like, I can just picture you guys lining up all your kids, throwing the eggs off the pan, you know, lands on their plate, on their toes. Like, I can just see a whole comedy skit right now.
Exactly.
You probably have a pretty accurate image in your head, to be honest.
Good.
You
know,
this kid, good. Like sometimes eggs are flying out and the kids aren't.
I think that's just great.
Smacks them in the face the once in a while.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun. That's
true. Perfect. Okay. One more.
Okay. This is our favorite question of all because you guys are on a sensory podcast. So what are your sensory quirks?
Oh, this is a good question. Okay. So I would say sensory quirks are, I really hate it if my hair is not parted right where I usually part it. Right. And I can feel it. So if it's like a little to the right or a little to the left, it like drives me nuts. And I will literally have to like redo my hair. I really don't like my part in the wrong spot. But I know right where it's at, so usually we're pretty good. Because I've got it kind of narrowed down, like this is the part, and it probably will be till the day I die.
So but you're not going to conform to the middle part.
Oh my gosh. No. I can't do that either.
But the hair to conform to any.
So
there's my sensory feedback.
Okay.
Have to have part Virgos.
I think my sensory thing is if my teeth aren't brushed before bed, I cannot sleep. So, I can't handle it.
It's like the fluffy on your teeth. Yeah.
Oh, it is gross, though.
It's not a good feeling.
No.
Not a good feeling. So, first thing in the morning, first thing at night, they're getting done.
Perfect.
I mean, we work in a lot of kiddos and babies' mouths, so you know, like, the importance of having a clean mouth. Uh-huh. Like, so at least you know she's got top-notch oral care. Yeah.
That's fair.
But now that everyone's wearing masks, no one can see.
That's true.
I'm just kidding. That's so gross.
I know. I'm, like, thinking of all the people who aren't brushing their teeth now. I hate it.
I know.
Yeah, that's kind of a disturbing thought.
Oh, I don't like that.
Sorry. Just rewind. Cut that out.
Oh, I don't like that. About
sensory issues now, like, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Although it protects you if you have a smoothie, because
that's
then
true.
You can have those little pieces of raspberry in your teeth.
Yes,
that's true.
Yes, we love Bowl of Heaven, and that is a real thing. Like, you get like whatever they have in their granola, it's amazing. Cheers,
okay.
You have to cheer. You're like, oh, hi.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry now.
I want chickens. I want Bowl of Heaven.
I know.
I want eggs.
Come on over.
Yeah,
I'm going to. Okay. All right, let's dive in to the good stuff. I mean, that stuff is pretty good too, but
it was pretty good this time.
That's pretty good. But can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
I'm Linnell King. I am an IBCLC and a lactation consultant, and I'm a craniosacral therapist. And so I work primarily with pediatrics. I see moms and babies all day long, and spiced with a few toddlers and primary age children and some teenagers. So I see 0 through 18 primarily. And then also I will see mamas who are pregnant for craniosacral therapy as well. So it's a lovely, lovely job. I highly recommend it to everybody who has any interest in mother baby care. It's just delicious.
It is. It's true. It's amazing. So we kind of probably just sound like we're mirroring each other here, because I just want to be like Linnell when I grow up. So
I want to be like Linnell when I grow up.
Just do whatever is necessary to get there. So same thing. I'm a craniosacral therapist, and we both treat peds. Like she said, I see a lot of adults right now as I'm trying to finish up my student hours to become an IBCLC.
Oh.
So looking forward to transitioning a little bit more into the pediatric world, but see lots of moms, lots of dads, lots of teenagers.
And then we also teach parenting.
Yeah, we
so
do.
We teach positive discipline parenting classes.
So. Yeah, so we're both certified positive discipline teachers, so we teach a class or two. We have to, like, know what we're doing, though, with all of our kids. So it really was more of, like, for me, it was survival
it
to get into
100%.
That. Like, I got to figure this out a little bit better, but love it. So that's kind of a snapshot. And I think I didn't say my name. I'm Sonia.
Perfect.
I just have to say, all of this is so near and dear to my heart right now, because I have a 6-month-old. I've been working with an IBCLC. We just got his tongue tie, lip tie released. I'm going to see a cranial sacral therapist. I didn't know you guys when I got this scheduled, so don't get mad at me. But it's like, it's so relative for me right now. So I'm hoping that we have listeners who are in the same shoes as me and who can really take this and benefit from this.
Yeah, it's huge. And we do the tongue tie thing and the therapy before and after. Linnell does way doing more of that than I am right now, but I'm getting more into that too. And it is a huge piece. So yeah, kudos to you because you've been through a lot. We can both tell you that right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So can you explain what cranial sacral therapy is? Because I feel like it's not something that really anybody knows about.
Kind of secret.
It's like a secret.
I believe my first words when someone told me, I was like, that sounds like voodoo. So tell me more. That really was my first impression. So cranial sacral therapy is like a light touch manipulation therapy. It's very gentle. It's very safe, effective. And we basically use it for kind of two reasons. One, anything we do with cranial sacral therapy initiates a response from the parasympathetic nervous system, which is that lovely piece of us that helps us to be calm. And we love all those calm, non-stressing feelings, right? So it does that. And then second, we work with restriction within tissue and fascia, muscular restriction. And we work to resolve those restrictions. So not just to like move them around, rub them or whatever, but we actually will go in and work with the tissue in certain pattern movements to resolve the restriction. And what that does is kind of twofold to the body too, is one, it feels amazing and obviously very calming, but it also gets rid of compensation that the body is using in an unhealthy way. And so we see a lot of indirect effects from that piece alone of just getting rid of some of that compensation gives like this huge energy dump to the body to then go in and do what it does best, which is heal and fix things on its own. So there's kind of a twofold answer there in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I would say that another component to craniosacral therapy is the emotional component that can happen to support healing in a body. So sometimes when someone is working through a tissue trauma that happened during an emotional time, something like that, we see this even in infants through adults, you know, at any age, there can be an emotional release that happens that will then help the body clear, help the mind clear, help you move forward in a new and better way. So it's pretty awesome.
It is. And it's crazy because that emotional piece, I feel like there's a lot of more awareness about those emotional pieces and how they affect the physical body in recent years. But when you do what we do all day long, that connection could not be more clear or more real to me. It is there, it exists, and it is a huge piece of the people's healings because we all go through things that are hard. So we're both also trained in what's called somato-emotional release, and they combine it with craniosacral therapy. It's a piece of craniosacral therapy that we do. So we have pretty neat, especially with these little babies.
Oh, is it like a portion of trauma-informed care? Does it like help heal trauma in a way? I'm feeling like if I were to get a session done, would I just start crying from like,
I feel like
all
I would.
Of the like tension I'm holding, like, not to make light of it, but is
we
that
see
kind of
emotion all over the board. So crying or laughing or anger or something that might need to just be expressed. And if we were to put our hands on you and do a session with you, have a session with you, there may or may not be an emotional release. It's whether or not the body's ready. And it's definitely not, you don't come in expecting to cry.
It's true. And what's very cool with what we do is when we're trained, the body gives a distinct signal that there's emotion residing in that tissue that needs to be resolved. So it actually kind of takes a different treatment direction when that prompt kind of comes up. It is very cool because you're very much working on somebody else's own treatment plan within their body. So we just follow those cues as they're given.
So interesting. Yeah. Can you kind of run us through what a typical session looks like?
they're
also different. I don't know.
Like if you were to be working with my 6-month-old, let's use him as an example. So he just had a tongue tie, lip tie release. What would a session look like with kind of a busy little boy?
Sure. So a 6-month-old, I would expect that little person to come in, hopefully fed, so that we can have a moment before they realize they need to eat again, which will be maybe in 30 seconds, maybe after the session. But I would hold that little person on my lap and just kind of get to know your 6-month-old a little bit. We'd spend some time talking to each other, right? Just getting to know each other a little bit as someone who would be hopefully invited into his or her space to work with them. Hello, how are you? I'm so excited to see you here today. And even though they are nonverbal, babies, I think, need to have the space to be able to invite you into their space. So we're very respectful of that. We don't necessarily jump right into working with a baby. We'd want to wait for that invitation. And, you know, you can just kind of feel it with little babies. They'll finally, like, okay, they're ready for a new person in their world. And then typically with a six-month-old, I would either hold them in my lap or hold them on a treatment table and kind of start feeling their body. So I put one hand on one side of their back, and for example, and one side in the thoracic area of their chest, and just kind of get a sense of how that craniosacral rhythm is doing for that little person. And then if we're treating for tie restriction, I would want to check then the whole body from head to toe. There's restriction in the body somewhere along the line, and then treat that, and then go ahead and work potentially most likely in the baby's mouth. So when there's been a restriction that's been released, there is most likely some tissue next to that restriction that needs to be softened so that there's full mobility available for that little person. So that would kind of look the same in every age if we were treating something like that. So do you have anything to say about?
Yeah, I would just say, like, during that process, I think one component that I love is there is a connection we try to establish with the baby. And then as we work, we really try to establish that with the mom too.
Yeah,
because moms and babies are so inseparably connected. It's just a fact. And so hearing what mom's experiencing and what mom thinks is going on with baby for me is a huge piece, because moms have really good mom guts, right? They know their babies. They're with them. They care the most, right? And so I feel that that's another huge piece that we will always involve as well. While we're working on that baby, we've kind of gotten that invite and we're working on that little person. We always touch base with mom and try to add those pieces of her wisdom into that treatment. And so it kind of makes this lovely little
triad
circle of life.
It is. And really, you know, because we're a postpartum clinic, dads are often involved.
Yes.
Fathers are often involved. Partners are often involved, however that looks in that family structure. And we're really, really up on if people want a family session to kind of help that connection or help process some of the difficulties that might have happened during a postpartum season, that we can offer that as well.
And that kind of leads to my next question. Can families carry over into the home? Like, do you show them these techniques and how to do it at home?
That's a great question.
So on some levels, yes. Like, we have a lot of exercises, especially if we're referring back to your six-month-old who just had a revision. There's a lot of home exercises and home care that we will send home, and it's needed to make sure that person really fully recovers. There has been sometimes where I will show a mom or a dad a basic technique, especially if we're going to be talking like sensory stuff. That's where I feel that I use that the most as far as actually trying to teach a cranio technique because of its calming effect. Sometimes that's really helpful for parents to have one more tool in their tool belt when you're dealing with that high sensory need to be able to help them calm is a huge thing, right? I mean, anyone who knows anything about these sensory processing disorders, the ability to have anything that would be helpful to calm and to bring some sort of sense of that for that child is huge. So I would say, and that's honestly where I use that the most, is like the actual teaching of a cranio technique.
Yeah. And anyone can learn.
It's not voodoo.
It's not for voodoo.
No. It's not some energetic work. Like, it is very much based on structure, function, human anatomy and physiology. And there is this beautiful piece of just this huge science piece that comes into play. Yeah. So the rhythm is something that is real. It's something that is studied. It is not voodoo, but yes, anyone can learn, and it is a lovely therapy.
Okay, so I had someone ask me, it was my mom, because I told her about craniosacral and that we were interviewing you guys, and she was like, what's the difference between chiropractic care for little ones and craniosacral? So can you kind of describe what the difference is for that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. Yeah, I love this question.
Go for it. Go ahead.
There's a huge difference between it, because chiropractic tends to focus more on the bone structure, right? They go in and they want to adjust your bone structure. We want to put that in place. The reality of our bodies and the way it works, though, which chiropractors and us totally are on the same page with, is we're really a slave to our soft tissue. For example, if we're talking like your mid-back and you have like a huge balled up tissue to the right-hand side and it's pulling on your spine, that spine's going to go out all day long, right? Mm-hmm. So when we go in and we release tissue and we're working with fascia, that tissue piece, and we can relieve the restriction, then all of a sudden that adjustment holds 10 times better because we really are a slave to what's happening around that bone structure. Mm-hmm. So it is different because you walk into a chiropractic office expecting them to work with your tissue and your muscle structure. Some bring little pieces of that in for sure, but their main focus is to align the spine, align all of the bones within the body. So we are more of the soft tissue part of that and working through the fascia and all those pieces. And sometimes bones move when we do that. That's also a reality, because sometimes if you release that restriction, all of a sudden that bone's like, oh yeah, thank you, now I can go back to my place. So there is some bone movement involved, but that is not our direct approach. Whereas a chiropractor will tell you that their direct approach is more based on the bone structure.
Yeah. And I think that we definitely refer back and forth to chiropractors all the time, because that complementary work can just help speed or help keep a release really, really nicely structured. It's really lovely. I think the one thing that we might do with bone structure different than a chiropractor is that we really work with the bones of the head. So we see a population of kiddos who are trying to avoid being put in a helmet, for example, or kiddos who are coming out of a helmet or who want care along with a helmet use. So definitely for those little kiddos who have plagiocephaly, torticollis, plagiocephaly, those are a large population of who we see, and we will help move the soft tissue and actually the structure of the head.
We just want to take a minute and talk to you about our company, Harkla. Our mission at Harkla is to help those with special needs live happy, healthy lives. Not only do we accomplish this through the podcast, but we also have therapy products, easy-to-follow digital courses, and the Harkla Sensory Club to try to bring holistic care to you and your family.
Listeners of the All Things Sensory podcast get 10% off their first purchase at Harkla with the discount code SENSORY. We'd recommend checking out some of our best sellers like the Compression Sensory Swing, Weighted Blankets, or our course on sensory diets.
And here's the best part. 1% of each sale gets donated to the University of Washington Autism Center to support autism research and fund scholarships to families in need to receive in-clinic therapy for their child.
Learn more about Harkla and all we have to offer at harkla.co. That's harkla.co. And don't forget to use the discount code SENSORY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's SENSORY for 10% off.
And the best part is all Harkla orders come with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping.
You really can't beat that.
No.
No, you can't. Okay, let's get back to the show. So then kind of going back to where you're talking about the differences between chiropractic care, what about like massage therapy? That's what that made me think of was similarities between what you do and massage therapy.
Can I have you do an experiment together really quick?
Yes, I love experiments.
And I hate them. Like, no, I don't want to be involved.
Follow Sonia and I. Put your hand up to each other. Okay. So you're holding hands vertically like that. And then push on each other's hands. Okay, do you see how you kind of want to push back against that pushing? So that would be like a massage. You're getting deep into that tissue. Now I want you to put your hand up and just meet the tissue, just gently. And then one of you decide who's going to be the leader. I want you to just very gently move that tissue, and the other person just gets to follow. Just super, super, super soft. Now, can you then make those gentle adjustments? You can take that person anywhere you want them to go, and you don't have to push them at all. So this kind of super, super, yeah, isn't that kind of fun?
I love it.
So craniosacral uses just a tiny bit of pressure. It's about 5 grams or less. That's like balancing a nickel in the back of your hand. And so because there's no tissue trying to resist against your touch, we can get movement that's fantastic.
Okay. I love the description too of like, I have a few massage therapist friends and we refer back there too a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, we always joke about like, it's not the elbow and the psoas. We were like, oh my gosh, you know, like, a pain response, right? And there's maybe time for that's appropriate. But what I love about this is we get into such crazy deep tissue, honestly, like layers and layers and layers down, because when you work with the body that way, it's just like what you felt with your hand. All of a sudden, there's no pushback. There's no pain response involved. And so the body almost welcomes that. It brings you in further and further and further. And so you can actually treat this tissue where there's restriction way deep down versus pushing on that, you're really never going to get there is the honest truth, because you're just going to get that pushback and that pain response. So I think pain response would be the thing that I would add to that, that makes cranio so lovely and different than massage therapy, because it is affecting the tissue and getting into the tissue completely differently.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Good things.
Okay. So then I have a question. If you get a kiddo to come in, and how do you know when to like discharge them when they're, you know, done?
Totally. Mm-hmm. So this varies depending on what we're working with, right? So because we're a therapy, there's times where you discharge them after only a few appointments because it's resolved. Like, because we're working with restriction, a lot of times we can resolve it and then they're kind of good and they let us know if something comes back. There's other things where they're dealing with like a permanent issue, right? We're not going to come in and necessarily heal that issue. So they may choose to come more often because it's effective at keeping them at a higher level of functioning. So there's a little bit of difference there. For example, like tongue tie, we don't typically see that for very long after a revision, because once that tissue is loosened and once we've had that clipped and it's resolved, then it's usually a few appointments and then that kiddo's usually good. And we have outliers always, but that for the most part, I would say it's like a more typical treatment phase. But then you have, for example, maybe a sensory kiddo or somebody who deals with chronic depression and anxiety, and it's more of a genetic theme and they're going to have that, but we can get them functioning, let's say like at a 2 or 3, and we can improve their function to like a 4, 5, 6, 7 or even better. And we want to maintain that. So they may choose to be more of on a maintenance schedule to maintain that level of improvement that we've seen, because their condition is not necessarily going to go away, or we're not going to permanently alter that. But we are a therapy, so we are a really good therapy option for them to regularly see that improved function.
Okay. And I think it's important to note that we don't ever put a schedule on someone. Like, that you need to come for 6 sessions or 2 sessions or whatever that might look like. We always look at the body and discuss with the patient, how do you feel like you're doing with this? Call us if you need to come back in. There's no kind of obligatory, yeah. That's the word, obligatory, like, you've got to come in every month. There's nothing like that. We both really strongly feel, especially in the case of pediatrics, that mom and dad gut really guides treatment well. And so we really would like to continue to keep that line of communication open with parents. How are their kids doing, you know? And then you get this really sweet thing where we get follow-up phone calls or pictures of kids who are just doing really well, and parents are really grateful for that care that they got. And it's just lovely.
Yeah, it is. And I guess just to add to exactly what she's saying is there is this huge piece where, because we do what we do and we've worked with the body in the way that we've worked with the body on that non-resistant kind of therapy, right? We don't want to initiate a pain response or a pushback, if you will. I feel like it's really important to understand that we also just deal with people that way, right? People really should be in charge of their own healthcare, and we pay attention, are our best doctors.
Yes.
And so our job is to not push that on people or to say, well, if you do this, this X, Y, and Z, you're going to receive this result, because what we understand about the body is that we are all so unique. To give someone that answer is really far-fetched, in my opinion. It really varies person to person, body to body. And we really try to instill that in people who maybe aren't so confident about that, that they can be in charge of that and that they do know. And when you feel well, recognize it. And when you don't feel well, recognize it. So we really try to work with people, I feel like, the same way that our therapy teaches us to work with the body.
And to feel as if when you have questions, you have a resource. So you have us Absolutely. In your back pocket. If you have a question, we really, really work our tails off to be available to
Yes.
our families. So
I love all of that.
I
so much.
I have a question. I'm curious for our families, does insurance cover it? Is it private pay? In Idaho here, we have like Katie Beckett, Medicaid. Like, how's like payment covered for craniosacral?
Yeah, great question. Yes. So as an IVCLC, I do contract with an insurance provider who covers several insurances. And so when someone calls me, if they have a baby who needs to be seen for both lactation and craniosacral, I would then bill under lactation and they get the bonus of cranio at their appointments. Craniosacral therapy is not billable right now for insurance in any other way. So for us, other people can bill it under physical therapy. So if you find someone who's a physical therapist, they could then incorporate some craniosacral into their work. Also, other osteopathic medicine doctors do practice craniosacral therapy. So of course, that would be available through them. We're cash pay, private pay, HSA, credit card, that sort of thing right now. But we also definitely see families like we see you. So if you have a need and then you also have a financial need, we're super open to working with families. So
yeah, and I will say one thing that's really inspiring. I love working with Linnell for this reason, because a lot of people go into things for a lot of reasons, but the best reason, in my opinion, to do what you do is because you love it and your heart's in the right place. So one thing I love and appreciate working with Linnell is I feel like that is so present, and that both of us, our conversations revolving around, especially the financial pieces, are always about the person. That it's not, we do this for work, so obviously our families are eating off of it too. So there's a space there, but we've had more than our fair share of free sessions or longer sessions, and we're happy to do that, especially when there's a need. So I just think it goes back to that. We're dealing with people here. People deserve to be treated as a person and in their individual circumstances. And that's always evident when that's a need. And
yeah, it is.
There's
you just know.
That.
Amazing. I know. And I was just thinking as you were talking about that, CODA as an occupational therapist could get trained in this and be able to incorporate into their practice too and just do more.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's just another trick of the trade. It's another something in your back pocket to offer families. And we are all about, gosh, there is so much room for people to gain more skill and to practice collaboratively. There's no ownership over any kind of what we do. We want other people to have access to this care. So
yes.
Okay. Tell me how you get trained in craniosacral therapy. What does that process look like?
Right? Yeah, because I've had three of my kids start this training. Like love it. So it's so cool.
And I have two that have told me that's what they're doing when they grow up.
My God.
It affects it, and it is kind of addicting. Like, you know, we work on our kids and they get treatment and then they start doing it and it's this beautiful thing. We both got trained the same way. So we went through Upledger Institute. It's a series of classes with, in between those classes, you have a certain amount of clinical hours that you have to sign off on.
And you have to have a healthcare degree and or take certain college courses to then be able to qualify to even take the courses themselves. So there's definitely some pieces involved.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think that's good. I mean, you got to know your stuff, you know?
Can't just be a random person.
Well, yeah, well, it's kind of not really a joke, but I just remember when I first started being like, man, I'm really glad I paid attention in all those anatomy and physiology classes. Because there is this huge piece where if you don't know what tissue you're working on or what structure I'm even trying to move, I mean, there is an intricate, interlaced knowledge base that has to be present in order to be an effective craniosacral therapist.
Yeah.
And that, I would say, is if your thing and you love that, this would be a great avenue. I mean, luckily, we both really do love that. I mean, we're definitely the nerdy.
We are totally. Like, oh my gosh.
That's how we are, too.
Yeah, I mean, research articles in our spare time, that's probably really embarrassing to admit, but that's okay. We really do like that. So I feel like there's a really heavy base in anatomy and physiology and understanding the structure of the body, because you cannot improve function if you do not understand the structure.
Definitely.
That makes sense. That's huge. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what the biggest challenge is with what you do.
Oh, hands down, it's getting the message out. I want everybody to know about craniosacral therapy.
That's why, you're here. Because we do too.
That, this somato emotional release part is so huge. So without delving into it, that has been a huge healing piece in my own life that I never anticipated to come in the form of this craniosacral therapy. And it's been huge for my children. It has been huge for my family. It has been huge for my extended family. So I love it because for me and what it's brought into my life, how can you not share something that has been so life-changing and altering in so many good ways? So for me, that would be the biggest challenge is I hear people, I'm like, oh, I want to just put my hands on you.
like at the grocery store. Here's to the grocery store.
Totally. Yes. Like you can see that little baby who's a little torqued and you're like, oh, come here.
Yeah, let me just give me 5 minutes.
We do the same thing.
Yeah, it really is. I would say that really is the thing that always gets me the most at the end of the day is just, it's an amazing resource. And like we said before, it's not a solve-all, cure-all by any means, but it is a pretty beautiful therapy for a lot of things. And what it does well for, it does really well for. It's hard to not see a lot of people in need and not just want to get that message out there. And time, right? We all time. It's like we're moms.
Gonna be my thing.
With your billions of kids.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like
who we
little...
actually really love.
Yeah.
Mommy mommies, like we really love this part of life. And so it's a challenge, but it's a beautiful challenge.
It is. So if I didn't need sleep but my kids did, that would be ideal. Yeah. If I could be with them all day long and work all night long and be so fine physically, that would be the ideal.
I would love that too, actually.
Right.
All right, so you guys are local to Idaho. We get you here with us. So if we have any local friends listening, how can they get in touch with you? How can they work with you and kind of just enjoy all that you offer?
Sure. So we're just in the process of rebuilding our website because our offerings are changing a little bit. And so our new website is www.family-seasons.com. And we work as a family postpartum clinic, so we have several resources on there. And then, gosh, how can you get a hold of us? Give us a call,
right? Like, this sounds so funny, but texting works great. Yes. We were just talking about this before this interview, but you know, like once I go down under and I start appointments, I'm not available for 12 hours. So,
yeah.
I love text messages just because I can see it. I can respond back a lot quicker typically than I can making phone calls. And I have noticed there's a bigger continuity of care because most people also prefer to communicate that way. But we are also available by email, phone call, all of the good jazz. But I do like text messages because I feel like it helps me keep people like straight, right? I can like say their name and I can like read back through what I said as we're trying to keep track of all the people we see. I found that that's a lovely thing. And like I said, when I go down under, I'm not available for a
down bit. Under.
So that can feel a little bit better for people too. Like they got my message.
And if you call me, you'll hear the message that says, please text me.
So it's the same answer.
That's so funny.
Right.
That's so good. Are y'all on social media at all?
So that part is coming in May.
Okay.
So we have chosen not to be on social media. We are crazy busy. We have never advertised, not one time, but we do feel like the information that we have is so worth getting out to the population. And so that piece is going to be on Instagram. So we're going to definitely have that up and running. Probably not so much on Facebook, but Instagram is definitely on our
Perfect. Well, let us know when that is up and running, and we'll make sure we give you guys a shout out so other people can hear your message. Yep. So before we finish up, can you give one piece of advice to our listeners? Like, what's your biggest thing that you want people to know or do?
Oh my gosh, I know mine for sure. It's trust your mom gut. Trust your mom gut. Advocate for your child, advocate for yourself, but trust that mama gut. It is so right on all the time. And even if you question it, find someone in your circle who can tell you, trust your mom gut. You can read up, you can hear from all the experts in the world, and you may have a little feeling that tells you, but I just wonder, I'm curious about, those are things to absolutely pay attention to. No one is a better expert on yourself or your family than you. So really, really pay attention to that. Give space for that.
Yes.
Totally. So I'm going to completely validate everything she just said and then add one follow-up piece to it, because that would have been probably the same advice. is that don't quit either. So when you have that mom gut instinct, I cannot tell you the number of stories that we have come in. And there's this whole principle that if you really search it out, you're going to find it. And to not quit, because sometimes people are wrong, and especially in this professional world, you know, things might be on someone else's radar that aren't on others. And people specialize whether they have that behind their credentials or not. You know, we have certain things that we like, we pay attention to better, whatever. And so don't ever quit on that. Just you keep looking until you find some sort of answer to appease your question or your curiosity. Or
so good.
Great.
Yes.
I love all that advice.
Oh, you ladies are wonderful.
I like that you guys are basically the same person.
I know.
That's kind of how I felt when when we met. I'm like, this is kind of surreal. Like, how do you feel like so connected and close to someone who you just met? But I do love Linnell. She's amazing practitioner and hands down amazing.
Right back at you. It's so fun. We just love our families so much, and we love the community family so much. And we just be healthy and happy.
We can definitely see that. You guys have not stopped smiling this whole interview. You are just so passionate, and we can feel it. And we hope that all of our listeners can feel it as well.
Us too. And thank you. You guys are lovely. We were just sitting a second ago, kind of got like, they're so cute.
They're so
cute. Seriously. Like, cute's probably the wrong word. That sounds like juvenile. We were with kids all day long. Sorry. My words. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I am an adult. So, you guys are just awesome. Thank you so much for having us. What a pleasure to meet both of you and spend this a little time.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Wow. I could hang out and chat with those ladies all day.
They're so funny, and it just cracks me up that they're basically the same person with all their freaking kids.
Yes, and all their passion behind craniosacral. I learned so much from the two of them. I had a lot of burning questions about craniosacral and what it is and how it works and is it actually voodoo, which apparently it's not.
No, I'm really excited to just get the word out about craniosacral, and I want to go have a session with them, and I have a feeling I'd probably start crying.
Yeah.
I think I would.
I probably would too. I feel like it's just such a release.
Yeah. You know? I need that release.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. We're getting dark on this episode, everyone.
I need it. All right. If you loved this episode, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes. Reach out on social media. We're on Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast and Harkla_family. So let us know that you listened.
Yeah. Take a screenshot and tag both of those accounts, all of our accounts. We would love to just share with Sonia and Linnell that y'all are listening to this episode.
And that you love them.
Yes, as much as we do.
Because you know you do.
All right, friends. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. And we will chat with you next week.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now, so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.